Welcome to the Refuge Podcast, where we cultivate our faith in the shelter of God's Word. I'm your host, Jennifer Elwood. And we have made it now in this podcast to season 5. And I didn't think I would have a part 1 of season 5 this year, actually. I was asked to speak at a women's conference earlier this spring, and it took a lot of amazing, wonderful study time and quiet time to prepare this series of talks. But as I did, I realized, gosh, I'm not going to be able to put together much of a podcast for the first part of this year. And I was chatting with my friend Angie, who always has like the best ideas ever. And she said, well, if you've already done all this study, why don't you create that as the first part of the season of your podcast? And I was like, that's a great idea. So I'm going to be coming your way for 5 weeks with a series called People Who Suffer Well. So before I get going, let me share something with you. I was asked to prepare a series of talks about suffering. And when I first sat down to write this series, like, I just started crying. And that happened a bunch of times that I sat down. But you know, God reveals to us in Psalm 56:8 that He keeps track of all our sorrows. He has collected all our tears in His bottle. He has recorded each one in His book. So I have a few more bottles to my name, and perhaps during this series, it may strike a chord, and you may have a few extra as well. But you know what? That's okay. And this is very unique. I haven't done anything like this with my podcast, but you know, the Lord doesn't tell me to do the same thing over and over again. He usually changes it up. So here we are. So I'm just going to ask you to take a moment, to take a breath. Suffering is one of those difficult categories of life that I don't like to wallow in. And it's really easy to get stuck there. However, I'm really glad I took this spiritual journey. And well, we're in this together now, if you choose to buckle up alongside me. And it may be hard, but it will also be awesome because Jesus is here to lead us through. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to begin. Lord, thank you to whoever and whenever people might be listening to this podcast series. Lord, suffering is so hard, and you know this. Your son especially knows this. And so it just gives me so much comfort thinking about, Lord, what you allowed your son to go through so that we can be in forever communion and in your presence. And so, Lord, I lift up all of the hurts, all of the difficulties, all of the horrible situations that people may find themselves in, or even in seasons of rest in between things. And I pray that this message and this series of messages will just hit people's hearts in a beautiful way that brings them closer in relationship to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last fall, when I traveled abroad, I was about 3 days from coming home, and I began to receive pictures of a sweet little puppy from my daughters with this question: can we keep her? We had one dog already named Millie who, while very sweet to humans, became a crazy attack dog when presented with other animals of any kind, and we couldn't take her anywhere. So no doggy play dates, off-leash parks, or even just like walking or camping. Like, we couldn't do anything with her except hang out with her at home and enjoy her there. So I figured we'd just have this solo dog for a long time who never left home, and that would be that. So the pictures really puzzled me as I received them, because my big old grouchy dog was cuddling up to this little German Shepherd baby, And they were getting along on my front porch while I was like over a th 5,000 miles away. So it turns out my husband had hired a guy to paint the interior of our house. And he brought this untrained, peeing everywhere puppy with a plea to help take care of her because she whined in her crate for 8 hours a day. And his landlord couldn't handle it anymore. So my husband said, "Sure, we'll just keep this dog for an indefinite amount of time with no real intention of keeping her. But my girl's heart, we'll keep her forever." So I was super annoyed and already exhausted before I started my 24-hour trip home. And oh my word, did I start praying for the strength to endure whatever happened to this puppy. So some might call this bad decision making or perhaps serendipitous, depending on how you want to look at it. But another word for this experience, which is our topic of focus for this series, is suffering. And I know like a cute puppy is not a severe suffering, especially when I was secretly hoping for a second dog. But what is suffering? So I'm going to share with you what I found as I researched the meaning. There are so many ways to define it. Dictionary.com defines it this way: to undergo, be subjected to, or endure pain, distress, injury, loss, or anything unpleasant. Suffering can be brought about by us, our own little selves, by someone else, or a natural consequence without human cause. It can be physical, mental, emotional, and psychological. If we look to the Bible, we can glean nuances of the word for both Greek and Hebrew. In Hebrew, sevel means suffering, pain, and hardship. There are actually, which I found very interesting, 26 different words in Hebrew that can be translated to a specific type of suffering: suffering injury, suffering hunger or thirst, suffering caused by physical wounds, from laboring or from inflicting grief, and multiple other ways. An interesting note too, each Hebrew word has three root letters, and the root for this word can also be found in the word for patience, which is savlanut, and sovel also contains this root, which is a metaphorical burden, such as oppression. And over in Greek, it has its own little nuances that are very interesting. In Greek, the word is pathos, which means whatever befalls you, whether it be sad or joyous. It can mean a calamity, mishap, evil, or affliction, or a feeling which the mind suffers, an affliction of the mind, emotion, or passion. The root is also in the word pathema, which means suffering or affliction, either internal or external, but the word pasco indicates external suffering. And Glenda, the woman who asked me to create this series of messages, shared a definition with me, though, and I think it's a really good one to hold on to. It is a very practical definition from a book by Elizabeth Elliot, who is a missionary who was famous for moving in with the native tribe who had murdered her husband a few years after the event and helped bring this tribe to a saving faith in the Lord. And this book is called Suffering is Never for Nothing. And I'd like to share with you her definition of the word. It's very good. She wrote that this definition covers the whole gamut from when the washing machine overflows or the roast burns and you're having the boss for dinner that night. All those things about which our immediate human reaction is, oh no! From that kind of triviality, relatively speaking, to your husband has cancer, your child has spina bifida, or you yourself have just lost everything. Suffering is having what you don't want or wanting what you don't have. And as much as I understand, there's various degrees of suffering, this boils the definition well. And for this series, we're going to be focusing on five cultivated habits of the hearts of people who suffer well. The first is prayer, then being filled with the word, rest, surrender, and joy. Which brings me to part two of the story I began with you. We're going to spend the rest of our time diving into cultivating a heart of prayer. So I came home, got over jet lag, and made a request to my husband to not be lukewarm about the decision about the dog. It was either going to be yes or no within 24 hours. And I knew within about a month or so, I would be enduring a hysterectomy. So the time for the puppy to stop peeing everywhere and begin behavior training needed to happen very quickly and would also be very time consuming for me. So it took about an hour for my daughters and I to persuade my husband to relent. And she stayed and was named Daisy. And shortly before the procedure, with persistent timers going off every 45 minutes to remind us to take her outside, she squeaked by with strides in potty training, and it seemed we had succeeded in shaping a puppy who came when she was called, sat on command, and didn't feel the need to create little puddles right in front of us. Major surgery happened and it was rough, but it seemed all was well in our little family. But the dog started meandering beyond the fence line into the 5 acres of pasture that surrounded our house. And it started innocently enough, with us seeing them sliding under the fence and traipsing up to the top of our property to commune with a few loose dogs on the other side. But after a day of sledding out in our pasture, when they discovered the wonders of gallivanting further beyond the fence and made puppy friends way farther up the hill, it took us much longer to call them back at times. Then on a rainy Friday night, just as we were discussing the need to go out with them from then on, they crossed the road. And I remember sitting in the basement with my youngest that evening and just having a horrible feeling. I started the Oh, Please, Lord prayer internally on repeat, and I went upstairs and called for them for 10 minutes in multiple directions. I thought I heard a brief yelp. And within 30 seconds of that, the puppy came running around the house in the opposite direction that the way the dogs usually returned, and she was by herself. They'd crossed the road, and only one came back. And you can guess what was at the bottom of our driveway. So I cannot tell you how prayers sustained me and my family that night and into the following days. And I asked why over and over, but I also asked God to soothe and comfort us. We all prayed together in a way that we hadn't for a while. Both my daughters, ages 12 and 8, even prayed out loud for healing raw feelings, for the gripping loss, for the Lord to carry the guilt, and for the puppy who was still left and was the only one who knew what happened that night. People who suffer well cultivate a heart filled with prayer. I have, and perhaps you too have suffered worse things, but this was the story I think I was meant to begin this series with. And it happened just a few days before I was asked to study this topic in the first place. When we experience tragic events like this, or long suffering events, anything we either want or don't have at a very deep level, the spiritual habits we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, require cultivation. I don't know about you, but I'm always working on my prayer life. I've set timers throughout the day, purchased special journals, downloaded apps, made space for grace before meals and bedtime, provided prayer covering for people during difficult times, and attended retreats focused on the practice of prayer that give us a plumb line to the heart of our true Father. But let's look at the prayer life of a particular woman in the Bible. There are some greats in scripture with beautiful prayers, but we are going to closely look at Hannah and her sincere prayer of lament and the prayer of praise that followed. So let's hang out in 1 Samuel chapter 1 for a bit, and I'm using the NIV translation. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two women. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. So I'm going to stop you right there And I kind of like to teach in the style of Liz Curtis Higgs, where we look at a little bit of scripture and then we talk about it for a moment. So I have something to point out here. If we key into the fact that they are Ephraimites, we can glean blessing. Ephraim was Joseph's younger son, who, if you remember back to the final words Jacob had for this tribe and the other half of Manasseh. I'm going to jog your memory and read Genesis 49, 25, and 26. Because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the skies above, blessings of the deep springs below, blessings of the breast and womb, your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. And also, I'd like to point out as well that the name Hannah means favored. So knowing all of these things, it helps us frame what will happen next. So let's continue. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she was weeping and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" This woman was very heartbroken. She deeply desired children, and her desires at the depths of her heart were for the Lord to hear and answer her prayer. And at the time, the culture dictated that a woman's greatest role was to produce children. And when that didn't happen, it was devastating. But let's keep going because she persists. Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." In her bitter distress, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept with many tears. And she made a vow, pleading, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, not forgetting your maidservant, but giving her a son, then I will dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall ever come over his head." As Hannah kept on praying before the Lord, Eli watched her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and thought her lips were moving. Her voice could not be heard. So Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put away your wine." Again, in her suffering, her grief, this act of lamentation was misunderstood, but she persisted. "No, my Lord," Hannah replied, "I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have not had any wine or strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman, for this time I have been praying out of the depth of my anguish and grief." This is so beautiful and honest. And at this point, I can't help but cheer her on. Go, Hannah. "Go in peace," Eli replied, "and may the God of Israel grant the petition you have asked of him." That prayer is one to remember. Through her suffering, she lamented her situation and prayed to God for an answer. She was honest, heartfelt, and specific. She pleaded for God to look at her affliction, remember her, do not forget her. And what happened? The Lord remembered her, and she gave birth to a son, Samuel. She dedicated him in service to the Lord and was even blessed with the birth of other children, three boys and two girls. Once he was weaned and took his place of service at the tabernacle in Shiloh. And there are lots of ways and methods to pray, but I think when we are suffering, beginning with lament is welcomed by the Lord because people who suffer well cultivate a heart of prayer. So I'm going to ask you a question. What are you suffering right now? There are probably lots of circumstances that are either presenting you with something you want but don't have, or have but don't want. But where is your most pressing area of suffering right now? In what area do you need to persist in prayer? This is all hard, but very good and necessary work to put our suffering in the hands of the Lord. So I'm going to give you a minute of silence right now and a suggestion for a breath prayer. I absolutely love this ancient practice, and I hope you will too. We can practice cultivating a heart of prayer right now with these words, first penned in scripture, they're the words of Hannah. As you breathe in, say in the quiet of your heart and mind, Lord, look upon my affliction. And as you breathe out, say, and remember me. Lord, look upon my affliction. And remember me. So I'll be honest, the dog situation isn't overall my greatest suffering, but it is the most recent. And it's something that the Lord has actually shifted for me a bit. I've emerged from most of the grief. And while sometimes, and especially coming home to our driveway in the evening, I can experience sadness and regret, the Lord has revealed to me how to shift this event in my prayers from lament to praise. Daisy, our sweet puppy, is emerging as a delight. While I would never wish our other dog Millie away, she was difficult in her aggression that prevented us from taking her anywhere. But Daisy isn't like that at all. Because of her, I'm out walking more and enjoying God's natural beauty. And her social sweetness brings joy to animals and people everywhere we go. We get to have puppy playdates and even when I'm sad, the inclination to praise God for being able to enjoy Millie during our lifetime and the ability to enjoy Daisy now is worthy of praising Him. So I'm going to finish our time together with an encouragement to spend a few minutes journaling through a difficult situation in your life and ask the Lord to help you with it. And cultivate both lament and praise for the situation as Holy Spirit reveals. So I'm going to end in prayer and then stay tuned because I'm going to read Hannah's prayer of praise over you. Lord, however this fell on this person that's listening right now, Lord, I pray that even in the midst of anything difficult happening, or if it's drawing up feelings of something that hasn't quite been dealt with but needs to be, Lord, I pray that there would be encouragement in their hearts and their minds and their souls and their spirits. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the gift of lament, that you have given us the gift of praise, and that both of those prayers can absolutely be happening even at the same time. Because no matter what difficulty we're facing, you're always good. And thank you so much for your immense and amazing goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows. And by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who is barren has borne seven children, but she who has many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On him he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Refuge Podcast, where we cultivate our faith in the shelter of God's word.